And before we start, we need to bring on this friend, Rob Coles, and also bring on Deborah Lynn, one of my favorite actors. You guys will take one of our girls, take them out of here. Thank you all. I'm going to introduce a wonderful actress, star of stage and screen, and I'm a wonderful, wonderful teacher and students of a nearby university, much by and loved, Deborah Winger.
Of a transcendental aesthetic moment in human culture, with all conflicts held in balance. Here's an excerpt from the excerpt. Once in a lifetime, the longed-for tidal wave of justice can rise up and hope and history rhyme. It may be possible to hear the words rise up associated with the idea of justice and not make a further association with Bruce Springsteen. It may be possible to find another songwriter somewhere who can so capably hold hope in one hand and history in the other and still play the guitar, play it so that every note matters. And it may be possible that Double Take is only a magazine and that its struggle to survive of no great consequence. But these are not the kind of improbabilities that the poet asks us to believe in. The poem says, believe in miracles, and cures, and healing wells. The songs, so many of them, ask us also to believe in our own capacity to redeem ourselves, whatever our circumstances may be, and so, little by little, redeem the world. So, redemption champion, cultural icon, survivor, imagist, storyteller, musician, human being, Bruce Springsteen.
Is it going to my dad sexy view?
Free.
Who's this little life trying to keep it? They carry it with them every step of the day. The one day just kept losing. They're losing and dragging on.
favorite songs. And I don't know how to play it well, so I don't have to talk about this. Also, there's, you know, the whole guitar thing, but it's run through quite a bit of my work, you know. When I was young, someone told me that the safest place in a storm was in a car. And I really took to heart. I don't have any other explanation for that. But, for me, the song really, really kind of centered around that last verse, you know, where the character steps forward and he asserts his will. It's that tonight I'll be. And that, at that point, that's all he had. Everything else is gone, but he has his will. And to me, that was, that was both sort of the character making the only promise that he can to the world at that moment, to himself. And it's also the artist's promise to his audience, tonight I'll be. And the idea that if I'm going there, you're going there with me. trying hard in your mind. The branches and brambles tore my clothes and scratched my I handed the record in and Clyde Davis in the back, he said, So the record company Medley was actually very good on that one. And I wrote this song, and I wrote another one. I'm gonna say this one now. This one was pretty simple. And I just busted out a little rhyming dictionary on this subject. I didn't quit. I have them all.
Wow.
combed my hair, it was just right. And from my hair to my feet, I was open. Soul untouched.
like piracy.
Food for my mass, I was odd man out in my hometown. Sales were set when you wane, and was just going for whatever I could get. I had a jukebox graduate before first mate, couldn't say that was a short good sing. Dreaming of her, and found her with I pushed B-52 and bombed the blues, destroying my enemies. bombed the blues, my gear set stubborn on the stand. And when it was, broke all the rules, very quietly, y'all. Straight from my old high school, I wish. Never once gave thought to land. Actually gave thought to land a lot. An awful lot. I'm missing the next verse. Took months long vacations in the stratosphere. I still have trouble with that. It's one of those you can ask the wife. That's why I lost everything I ever loved or feared. I didn't have a clue as to what I actually loved. I was a costume kid, full costume dress. But my feet, they finally took root in the earth, got me a nice little place in the stars. That was funny. Even back then, I was concerned with remaining rooted in some fashion. And it still seemed important. And then the big line, Ryan makes a song that was the swear found the key to the universe. And the agent of the whole park car. That was important, because that's what I was trying to do. And I believe that, because I found so much in culture that was considered to be transient and trash, and just throwaway culture. And yet, I felt that I heard a world of pain and pleasure and beauty and darkness all coming out of those little records on the radio, and I knew that it was there. And I don't want to find sort of my key to that. It's there, it's even here, even in this town, you know. If I look hard, you know. Hid in the cloud of grass, the crowd. That was something I did a lot. A lot of hype,
you know, in those days. And
I just, all this other stuff was swirling around in the songs, kind of, you know, was hiding in here. Cloud of wrath and crap. Grew up feeling it was a hostile, pretty nasty world. And that I was broken, but that I was still nasty. And that's what you feel in this song, I think, that there's the insistence on a certain sort of magical fantasy almost, which can be, at a certain moment when you're young, can be pretty life-sustaining. That was pretty much how I ran through this song for me, you know. I'd be blinded by the light, but it could get real scared, you know. That's basically about sex, really, you know. That's basically marriage, and the quality of the song. You know, it's a sexual image. Well, I'll do that one for a second. I'll see if I can demystify just a few of them. Mad Dog and Bummers, Mad Dog, Vincent Lopez, all in the fight. Indians in the summer. That was my little league team, Indians. Teenage dumps with monks, the adolescent punks was waiting to his hat, self-explanatory. The boulder on my shoulder feeling kind of older, 22, I don't know why, but I tripped the merry-go-round. That was my boardwalk line. Vernon pleasing, sneezing, wheezing, colliding, crashing to the ground. Just general chaos, you know? All hot, half-shot, headed for the hot spot. Snapping his fingers, clapping his hands. That was me. Flesh pot mascot tied into a lover's knot with a whatnot in her hand. Self-explanatory. One Scott was in the shot, finally found a tender spot, throws his lover in the sand. Alright. So, the daddy from the near shot, save the buckshot, turn up the band. Blind by the light that was like a deuce. This is the only thing that disturbed me in that Manfred man. I was like a Deuce. But you only remember one record I ever had. Come back, don't ask like a Rolling Stone preacher from the East, too much preaching on TV. Says a dethroned ditch funny leads to funny moments where they expect at least just trying to be funny. So you know Chaperone standing in the corner all alone watching the young girls dance, some fresh stone moonstones messing with the frozen zone, and I know if you only ask, self-explanatory. So silicone sister with her manager Mr. Ooh, my introduction into the big time music business. Told me I got what it takes, so I'll turn you on, Sonny, to something strong to play that song with the funky break, job description. Go to cart, Mozart, check out another chart, see if it was safe to go outside. I don't know. Well, I need to know. A little by little Curly came by here, Curly wanted it, asking if I needed a ride. Self-explanatory. It's an hazard from Harvard with skunk on beer. Obviously, the premonition of the meeting by Coles. I was trying hard since I'm new with a calling card. Yeah, doing life, jumped up, turned around, spit my earphone on the ground, which is the way back home. I wish that I knew. Take a ride, like going straight night, boys are on your own. Keeps going, believe it or not. Damn the car, shooting star, riding a sidecar, I don't know when burning up and fucking pains in the rhyme dictionary. I said, what is the bar close to the cookie jar? We're going back to the 60s, you know. It's a kidnapped handicap, obviously myself. Complaining that he caught the cop between mouse traffic law last night. Self-explanatory. I'm still glad to be here, so I got here to be alright. Mom! Going up into this life, sights of the sun, but of course, that's where we're flying. So, there they are!
Thank you.
just wanna kick my ass and feel. But if you were different, black or brown, it was a pretty redneck town. I had a freedom. Something broke my daddy's bed, freedom. He left for 30 years, he never come back. So once he drove from California, 3,000 miles in 3 days. Called my mother's relatives some dirty names. Pulled straight out of Freehold. Now he's there by the highway, buried. His old ghost just flipped a bird. Everybody in Freehold. My sister got pregnant, 17 in Freehold. Black men, people, they could be pretty mean. Now, honey, you had a rough road to go. Now you ain't made a mistake. I love you more than you love me. We both survived freedom. I put up my keys in my ear, I'm freedom. Remember when we had a lot more hair, freedom. I left and swore I'd never walk those streets again, yeah. All I can say is, holy shit, I'm in the back. Back to freedom. Well, I read something in the papers a few weeks ago. It was pretty funny. Seems that the town council was debating whether to put a statue of me up in my hometown, but it cost too much damn money. I'd like to thank the town council, my friend, for saving me from humiliation and displaying a good heart and common sense. We learned in freedom. Well, this summer, everything was green. I rode my kids on the fire engine in the streets of freedom. Showed them where Dad was born and raised. First felt the sun on his face. Freedom. Still got a lot of real good friends back there. I can usually find free beer somewhere. With free dinners, I am blessed. Should I go crazy, blow all my money, hit the tabloids, become fodder for moronic talk shows, turn my life into a complete fucking mess? At least I'll never go hungry, I guess. Free all. Catholic education, freedom. Let's do an awful lot of masturbation. Freedom. I was just something I did for a smile. Hell, I still get a good one off once in a while. Dedicated to freedom. Don't get me wrong, man. And it all just goes and comes around. It's a hell of a town, my own town. Takes on my youth, you know. Well, this is a song came off Born to Run, and Born to Run actually a song they're considered making a state song for a while. But somebody wondered, they have a state song with the word suicide. I got debated quite a bit in the state one this year. And then if you had a state song was about leaving the state. So,
Thank you.
the beach town for a long run. And I think Paul at the geographical location. Somebody should do a study on it. But Old Town of Long Branch, and that was a big song for me. And I wrote it, had a little upright piano, and I put the first song on the record because it always felt like it was morning to me. And it was a song that that theme of redemption, which I've chased after like a hound dog on the trail for a long time, due to, I'm sure, Catholic indoctrination. Hey, I made it work for me.
Say it worked for me.
Hey, I'm going to wait for the interest. So that song is just, it's a song that over the years has gotten kind of bigger as time has gone by. And I still find a lot of it. However, the line, I'm afraid we're not that young anymore. I was 24. What was that thing? it was a song where I sort of, man, I imagined everything. I wanted to make the greatest record I could. And I had some feeling that, yeah, everything I'm thinking of is out there somewhere. And that big instrumental ending that the band played so well, that was such a big part of the end of that song, you know. But it's kind of, it is a song that's sort of grown in the years. That was a song I thought of everything and felt like everything. This was a song that
my soul,
I remember when I went home and I sat up all night and I wrote this particular song thinking about my sister. Sort of started out my narrative writing, you know, and also the music for a lot of those things. I got into basically it was kind of mountain music, you know, very modal. It's a very old modal sort of tuning and way of singing. And the reason that music worked for a lot of Nebraska, a lot of towns, this song was it goes back generation and generation and generation, and it intimates that the forces that are shaping these characters' lives come from way, way, way back, and that they continue on. And that music allowed me to give those characters a certain feeling of weight and timelessness. I think that the thing about this song, The Image of the River, was it was the only place of sanctuary. These were characters who had the hand of fate pressed down on the heart. And, knew not much about more than blood, sweat, and tears. You're locked into these circumstances and the things, the characters in these songs, they know it. And that's what you're trying to escape. And I remember everybody has a secret place. When I was a kid, we had a woods out back. And I remember there was a certain place in the woods that I felt was like mine, where nobody could touch me. And this song, the river is that sanctuary. And then in the end, what they have is the memories. It provides moments outside of time where they can go, but in the end it goes dry. And I think it brings back to the last line of the song, which is this, the dream alive, and the true is something first, there's something worse. And that was the dream alive, is what the things we tell ourselves to get through the day.
Yeah.
from a skeleton, a rhyming good one. Yeah, I love like a girl, that's gonna be too much. Can you spend with your lives career? I was born in the West End. I was born down. Cigarettes and a bottle of beer. This poem that I wrote for you. This black stone and these empty years. All I got left behind of you. I really don't read your phone letter. Living in Shabbat. I read Robert McNamara. said his son.
Union boots and black t-shirt, I bet you look so bad. Yeah, you and your rock and roll queen, it's the best thing this shit town ever had. Another minute over here, he was a family in rich dining homes. An apology and forgiveness, got no place. I'm sorry I missed you last year. Couldn't find no one to drive me. If your eyes could cut through that black stone, tell me would they recognize me? For the living time must be served. Life goes on. Cigarettes and a bottle of beer, scum and blackstone.
Good luck, good night. time, I've written a lot of songs about a lot of things. But there were some things that I hadn't written about at all, and of course, only men and women. I had not written about it then due to just general cluelessness. And so, but you know, I was getting along, and I figured, man, I gotta try to sort some of this out, which I did very poorly initially. So this is a song that was really about, I guess it's about trust. And knowing, hey, who's that person in the bed next to you now? And then, who the hell's the person on this side of the bed? Not too sure about that, you know? So that song kind of asked these questions. It was the first time I kind of started to see where it all led me. So once again. Thank you.
showroom.
Yeah. the night, dance with the dirty frogs. It all comes down to that in the roundabout music. So I use that rhythm to sort of imply a lot of sexual tension. Especially in my this next song, this is something where a friend of mine has sung that backstage, and talking about, so yeah, for sexual experience, you know, I was 14 and a half, 15, I think. He's not really sure, you know. This guy was kind of like putting all my kids' toys together after I lost the instructions. It's my memory of the experience. Anyway, I'm going to tackle that one right here. Not first, but one of those along the list. No. She said, we did just sleep together. There'd be nothing wrong. We could just hold each other with our clothes on. I was the answer. I don't think we should. And her voice say, yeah, I guess we could. She kissed me lightly. Said, you know, sometimes when I get down, it's the little things that count. It's the little things that count. She said something really stupid. I didn't hear her sound. She put on lipstick. I watched her mind. She said it was too late. I shouldn't try to grind. She unbuttoned my shirt and whispered, just close your eyes. Here, let me take your boots off. You know, sometimes when your love runs out, it's the little things you can. It's the little things you can. It's the little things. Dress up like me as she wore. She put the covers down. I was so dry. She held more glass to my lips. She brushed my cheek with her fingertips. She said she had a boyfriend. I reminded her of his hair was the same muddy brown. She stuck her tongue in my
Ooh.
cheshire smile and stand on fire till the light won't be. She lets the blue walls in the way he smacks, and it keeps a couple days off my heartbreak. Wouldn't even get a time to cover my tracks. He said he's a mere and he bold and jacks. Think what I came for, and I'm sure you see what I do.
For you, feel God, and I came for you.
moved to California for a couple of years, 2-3 years. And interesting place. I've actually loved it a lot. Just like the geography, like a lot of the people. In the early 90s, it felt like a place where the rest of America was going to look soon. And it was, I got interested in a lot of things that were going on down along the border and up through the Central Valley. And wrote some songs about the narrative writing that I haven't done since I guess Nebraska.
Miguel came from a small town in northern Mexico. He come north with his blood loose to California 3 years ago. They crossed every river lake when the winds just said steam. I worked together said, my son's one thing you will learn. For everything the North gives, it exacts a price in return. They worked side by side in the orchards from morning till the day was through. Yeah, doing the work was out some men from San Juan. We're looking for some hands. We're deep in Fresno County. It was a deserted chicken range. There was a small tin shack on the edge of a ravine. Getting you can spend a year in the orchards and make half as much in just one time as shit. Working for the man from Sinaloa. How good if you see the hydriotic acid will burn right through your skin. Leave you coughing the blood in the desert. You breathe. It was early one winter's evening, so guests stood watch outside. When the shack exploded, lighting up the valley night, the girl carried Lewis's body over his shoulder. I swayed to the creek side, and there it's all. His truck and they drove to where the morning sunlight fell. Only you could let this go. There the dirt he dug up $10,000. All that they see, kissed his brother's lips and placed him.
Thank you.
Come on, the rising. Come on, the rising.
waiting on a sunny day.
Grabs. You know, your time's always running late, and
dance.
I could take this in the morning. something I haven't done before.
And if it's something tomorrow night, we'll never do again.
Whatever, see.
It's going to be a gentleman with a microphone, and if you have any questions about how I do my job, I'll be glad to try and answer them for you. The only two questions I don't answer are what comes first, the music or the lyrics? And how do I get my hair up like this? So, anybody want to take a shot?
Right here.
All right. Writer's block. How about writer's block?
What about writer's block?
How do you deal with it?
Well, how do I deal with it? Well, I'm trying to think. I haven't had it in a while. I've been writing pretty freely in the past. But I've had it in the past. Born in the USA was ugly. You know, I was sitting there, I had Born in the USA, I had my hometown. Man, those are great, man, those are good little songs, you know what I mean? And I think I had Glory Days and a bunch of other, but I just couldn't get any more. And I'd done Nebraska, and I felt Nebraska was some of my best writing. So I wanted to make a rock record that sort of took from there and went forward, and I just felt like I couldn't do it, man. I worked so hard, I hacked stuff out like crazy. I had no life at the time, so that helped. Maybe that probably hindered, you know. I had no life. That was when I started in those, you know. I was about 34, and I said, gee, if I'm not writing, I'm sucking a baby now. Man, I got no life, so I got nothing else to do. So that was really, that. Maybe that had something to do with it. That was probably the last time I think when I wasn't actually writing, I felt like, you know, it was time to leave the planet because I just couldn't do it. I wasn't doing anything else. But that was, I don't know, you just keep rolling and you come up, eventually something comes around, and sometimes, you know, in the end, they feel a little forced to you, and sometimes you just gotta quit and get out there. And I have other opinions around me that help, you know. And on that record, they were very helpful. Steve was very helpful. John was very helpful. They said, well, the stuff that we had was pretty good. We cut half of the record, I think, before I cut Nebraska. And we ended up going back to a lot of that stuff. Garnton County, Animal Fire. Half of the Glory Days, Born in the USA, most of those songs were all cut before Nebraska, and they ended up being stuff we ended up going back and putting back on. So, you know. But I don't have any way to deal. I don't have any secret of, you know, dealing with it. I just kind of sit and sometimes, you know, just gotta wait. It's gonna happen. All right.
Bruce.
Excuse me.
Yes, I got
it. I'll tell you, brother.
You're my hero is one of the millions of people's heroes in America.
Thank you very much.
I just heard today that for the upcoming CBS special, that you have a corporate sponsor, I think, for the first time.
Well, I don't have a corporate sponsor, you know. I mean, they show commercials on television as they play them on the radio, you know. So, I believe there's a couple of breaks for commercials, but they're not sponsoring me.
I misunderstood, but what I'd like to ask you is,
I wouldn't have waited so long if I was going to go that way. I would have made a pig back in 1989. Well, the book, I don't know, somebody actually did send me a copy of it, so I kind of liked it because my picture was on the front of the box. So that's good, you know. But I don't know much more about the book besides that. And
The fellow did send me a copy, but I tend to not read about myself due to the fact that living with myself is enough. Bob, what can I say? You know, he was the guy that really put a lot of things together. A lot of those guys afterwards followed. Also, he's carried on as an artist, you know, as he's gotten older. You know, I mean, he's made some terrific records as of late. The last record I thought was great, and I loved it. So, you know, he's just continually creative, and that's inspirational, I think. You know, so I always got, you know, he was always like the fountain for me. You know, I still get a lot of inspiration out of throwing stuff on. And just amazing the breadth of his work and the stuff he's done. So,
Bruce, back here. Sorry about that.
Okay. Just freaking me out.
Just curious, how fresh was the hurt when you wrote back in your arms?
I just wrote like a soul song. The hurt wasn't very fresh. It was just something that I wrote it for the record after Lucky Town, which I didn't put out. I was sitting around. It was written for that record, which was kind of another record about relationships. And yeah, we were looking for a song from the Oasis record, put it on. It was a nice. It had it four times. In my dream, my love was lost.
Using the Esquire telly as much as you have been.
Also, I think I gave this to you upstairs. I think you dropped it. I was wondering if I could give this to you again. This is really important to me. It's my CD.
Thank you, girl.
Can you take a hint?
But as far as... not going to sue me, are you? Guitar is just something where I've got a series of other guitars and a variety of different tunes, but that's still mine. I played it for 25 years, bought it for $185, and it's a piece of my body at this point when I put it on. And, you know, it's not a guitar.
What was the promise about?
All right, go ahead. So whoever's got the
problem.
What's the promise
about?
I'll get to you next time.
Here.
Over here, Bruce. Well, I can't see you at all, I believe.
Bruce.
Okay.
How do you pick your set list every night? And are there any songs that maybe you've kind of put away and said, I'm not the player?
There tends to be some, you know. I'll go on tours where on this particular tour, I'm not playing this group of songs. Usually it's just to give them a rest, you know, or I try to balance between the old work and the new work, because when I put the band back together, the one thing I didn't really want to do, I didn't want to be sort of a nostalgia fest, you know. I think people come and you have a shared history with people that's very, very important and that I enjoy, and I want it to feel like that. You know, you've taken a long trip with somebody and you know somebody really well. But I want it to continue to be based very much in the present, and the band's done a great job of setting me there every night. So sometimes I will put away certain songs if I feel it's playing too much to the crowd on a given night or so, you know, and I'll go for something else. But the set list just comes up, like this one just kind of, you know, I had a few days to put it together, and there's some things I like to play, like Dark Sunday, I just like to play it, you know, it feels central to me, so I wanted to make sure I didn't fuck up the first thing that I played. So I picked that one first, and I was like, well, I don't know how to play that one. But Adam Ray's Keen, that's in the same tuning, and so that worked. And then, you know, my father's house, well, Adam Ray's Keen, that's, you know, fathers and sons, and so I go, well, I'll take it in a little bit deeper, stick the knife in a little bit deeper, and go to my father's house. Then I'll try something that's up because I want everybody to read and I go to, you know, Bus Stop and Growing Up, and then Freehold because it's kind of funny, and it's fun song to perform. And, Thunder Road because Warner Run, I want to play something from Warner Run because Central Record for me, and that song is real, real big. It still encompasses so much of my work that even when I play it, it's just big. It just takes me a lot. And Nebraska because it sort of reached that was a record that I felt like I hit a different spot in my writing, and that particular song was central to that record and central to a certain type of character that I learned to write well about that really came from some place inside me that I felt very, very connected to. My family was a combination of Italians up with my mother and her sisters, and they were all hysterical kind of joy freaks, no matter what happened, you know, they were always unbelievably optimistic, and their ability to communicate happiness continues to this day. I would go home from my aunt's house, deaf, and was screaming over nothing, like, hey, that's the shrieking over nothing. And then my dad was Irish, and that was the other thing, you know, you know, the police coming to the house parties, and that sort of thing. So I try to cover them both a little bit. And Southern Nebraska River because it was central. So I'm beginning to write narratively. USA because of what it's about, the souls and the wall, they're all connected to just the theme of war and surviving. And Bobby Jean, friendship, hometown, sense of place, good skies, long ago. Little things fall behind. That was just, you know, men, women, and sex, and love, and ghosts, because that was where I turned back outside again and started to write more about what I was singing and returning to kind of a narrative voice. So, and the writing was new, and
takes the theme of resurrection once it's been raised up. Promised Land, because I like to play, you know, it's a good song from Bob. So that's a brief. So just it kind of one thing leads to the next, and we just follow it. All
right. Yeah. I was singing the streets, and you talked about that, and then Paradise. I call that song live.
Paradise. I haven't played that one because it's hard to play live. I couldn't play it, but it's hard to play in a big place because it needs so much stillness, you know, because it's one of those songs. Racing in the Street was based on a kid I knew in Asbury Park who I used to see down in a bar all the time, you know, and so it was sort of, the theme of the thing was set, it was just this young kid that I knew with the car, and it started with him, and then it always ends up with you somehow, you know, it always ends up, I wanted to write about the classic rock industry cars and things that I love from Chuck Berry and Beach Boys, but I was making films was sort of the dread that was a part of everybody's life post Vietnam, you know. And that was once again redemption. The whole thing about that song leads up to the instrumental. The instrumental at the end of that record tells the rest of the story. One of my favorite songs, I like that one a lot. You know?
What
was
the promise about?
What's the promise about? I don't know, you know. It must have been about sex. I can't say, you know, that was sort of after Born to Run, I wrote that for Darkness, I think, and I was reflecting on sort of the flip side of Thunder Road, I think. I was reflecting on the responsibilities and that I thought came with my fortune at that time and how it sort of fit into my life, and that's generally what I remember. It's some fashion.
Bruce.
Okay. Well, I signed it. No, not right now. I'll sign it later, though.
Bruce.
Go ahead.
First of all, I want to say good luck at the Grammys. How does it feel having the best fans in the world?
I need the credit because, you know, one night I ask you to scream your heads off, and next night the minute goes checks up, everybody speaks up, kidding. And people respond very well in most circumstances. I was very happy with Tom Joe tour where I went out, and it was the show that he was so much quiet. And to be able, after, you know, so many years of playing hard and loud, to be able to get that from the audience as I did, only had to throw a few people out. You know, as I generally got, was very, very satisfying. And you know, it was nice. Well done. Okay.
First, this is a great gift for Double
Tanks. Oh, my pleasure.
And I want to know, how do you come to the decision to be a fundraiser, and what else do you want to achieve in your life?
Well, you know, this was an item bottom, you know, and just to admire Bob and his work and his writing and you know, I got the magazine very regularly. It was just a terrific magazine, very unusual, tremendous. Just the photography and amateur, you know, slipping away myself, it was just something that there's just nothing out there like it. So. And I like Bob. I like my Bob's work tremendously. So it was a pleasure to be here. Man.
Across the border, when my favorite song from
Across the Border, yes.
It was sung in almost like a whisper.
Yeah.
I don't think you've ever known before. It's a little step of the hand. He's the character. Which side of the border is he on? Has he crossed over the United States and he's walking back to his honey? Or has he walking, had to come back to Mexico? That's it.
I didn't actually think about all of that. Well, the question of the songwriter doesn't have to answer. The song's good. Yeah, but the song's sort of, it was religious in nature, in the sense that it was about
going someplace where, you know, love exists and redemption exists, and a place where you can live and just feel good and where you can have a chance of making something and building something for yourself. It was really about somebody seeking those things, you know, coming out of a world of hurt and seeking those things. I think that when you write those songs, ultimately, you set them in a variety of different settings, and that's part of what the songs are about. But they would not ring true unless you knew exactly what you were singing about, unless you could feel that thing, and I don't want to go across that border. I want to find those things I haven't found and touch those things that I haven't got a hold of yet. You know, some place that you believe exists somewhere, you know. So it was both about the things that were going on along the border in California, and just about a belief in that journey, I suppose. I'll give you a little bit of a go to the top of this sucker. Yeah. Man, it was embarrassing. Man, my bags were back. Thank you.
What does it mean to be a man? I'm just curious.
I think there was so much confusion about it when I was young, you know. We grew up in the 50s generation, you know, it was real rigid, the ideas, the very painful ideas about how that was defined. My dad suffered under it pretty intensely, you know, and he kind of, you know, passed on the confusions. And so I think it was something that I sought as a songwriter, you know, I sought to define. In the end, it's all identity, you know. Who am I? What am I doing here? And all your writing, from the first note to the last, is sort of in pursuit of some of those answers. And so that was a question that I dealt with a lot and often in my music, you know, with the intention of sorting out for myself. And I also drew quite an audience of young men. When I started out, there was a young man, still a lot of, certainly initially had an audience that was more guys than gals. Not the original intention. But what, you know? And I think it was because I wrestled with those questions a lot and hopefully help people sort through them a little better than they've been sorted through in the past. So.
Hi.
Okay.
Okay.
Am I warm? Warm? Warm?
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for your music.
Fans have been blessed by growing up with your music, a lot of us, and it's great to meet all the fans. And I was wondering if you, as a performer, ever wake up still awed by the impact you have, if ever that's an overwhelming responsibility you feel you have to respond to. It's just, how do you feel as an artist, you know, knowing that you reach so many people?
Central in society, and I happen to be lucky enough to come out along all the time. People pay the big bucks for that kind of thing, and so it's. I look at it like it's like an ongoing discussion and dialogue, and at some point, you step in every relationship you feel responsibility with, and I certainly feel one with my audience, and at the same time. You know, it's my job, and it's my work, and I'm trying to get too crazy about it. You know, like a lot of other things to do right now and stuff. So, what am I listening to?
What music do you like today?
Let me see. I do a lot of curiosity buying, you know. This year, like, there's a record called New Folk Underground by a guy named David Berwald, who's made a lot of good records. And that was probably one of my favorite records that I've heard in a while. There was a group called Phantom Planet, you know, pop rock band. I like them a lot. Flaming Lips, that's like, they had a couple of songs last record. I listen to a lot of things, you know. And I just kind of find my way through it. And, yeah.
You ever take your kids to your job with you?
Yeah, they come
almost a lot. That's pretty boring, Phil. I mean, let's face it. Who really wants to see thousands of people applaud their parents? You don't want to see that in your kid. It's not that old ass food, you know? You don't want to see it. You know? So they come once in a while, and they run around and have a good time. But what a kid
wants to see. After all these years, down to Jersey Shore, can you explain your connection to Freehold and Asbury Park and to Southside Johnny?
It's what I'm stuck with, you know? It's sort of the place where the connection to my home is. So it is like, it's what we're all stuck with, you know? It's those places, as far as some more than others. I mean, I may know a few people who literally left and never went back and never thought of it again, but I don't know many, you know? There's too many ghosts and too many bodies buried, and I think that, so, and also, it's just that whole sense of place, that whole idea about, I was very interested in where I came from. I'm not exactly sure why. I think I went back many, many times with the intent of trying to make right things that went wrong, trying to recreate a place that had only marginally existed, you know, in real life, I suppose. And as I did that, I just kind of investigated further and further and looked at it closer and closer, and it was something I just couldn't get out of myself, the idea that I needed to make a home for myself somehow there, that was important to me. I couldn't exactly tell you why, but I know that it was, and I pursued it very intensely, and also it was, I kind of believed in playing the cards we were dealt. I was from New Jersey, and I wanted to write it down for a lot of that. We get a round of applause. So it was just something that I felt connected to in a Christian sense. You know?
Bruce,
yes,
I'm up here in the back.
Okay,
I'm in the back. First off, thank you for tonight. This is something special.
Oh, thank you.
You write about people, but you write about politics, you write about people in social situations, and that's one of the things some of us love most about you. So I'd like to ask you a question about politics. It's not an easy question, but I think it's a question on a lot of people's minds right now. Bob McNamara, you know, admitted that he made a horrible mistake. And I wanted to ask you if you thought that Donald Rumsfeld, with his Bob McNamara haircut, is about to make a horrible mistake.
I was just talking to a friend earlier. He's taking on a bit of a strange, loving tinge for me in the last few months. But, I think that it's a lot about this for months, over New York, really asked a lot about it. I've read an awful lot about it, and it's amazing how confused I can get about it on any given day, But I got two sons. And I think, well, my sons were on the front line, but what I want. And I said, well, those wars that you get thrust into, and I felt that's what happened in Afghanistan, and there seem to be wars of choice in that. For one reason or another, that seems to be, the administration seems very determined to have this war, personally, I'm not a diplomat, I'm not a policy maker, but I think diplomacy, if my son was on the front lines, I would want a policy of containment in some fashion. And that's in the end, that's the only place I've been able to kind of come down to that. I think when an artist, you value, because the individual is so important in your work, is that that's the secrets you're chasing, and what's the essence of life, of living, if my kids were out there, I wouldn't want to be sending them down in this particular war at this particular time.
writing Horizon, did you feel an obligation to tell the story? How did Horizon get done?
Started the telephone, and they asked me to be on, and I was going to sing. So I wanted to write a song for it, because I didn't know if I had it on the fit, but it felt right. And I wrote Into the Fire, you know. That didn't get finished, and I didn't sing it, you know. But, I don't think I ever sit at a particular moment feeling I've got to write this kind of song or that kind of song, you know. I don't feel, I don't really write from the outside in, you know. It's not an external, the spark is generally, it doesn't really come from that way. I mean, you're affected by what goes on in the world, but ultimately, you've got to suss it out internally, you know, what it means for you. And, like all of those songs on those records had to stand on their own, and they had to work independent of events. It's where the songs get their own integrity from. You can put the rise, you can put it on by the song Major Tam. You can promise something on the rise. And,
pretty specific,
yeah, in some ways, but it could be about many, many different things, you know.
We've been going around from town to town.
away and slain on that back road door. He just stood here like a wolf to pull you down. It's wasted ain't sure enough to say, leaving all them scarecrows like face down. Face down the word is hard to hate. If we're building up on here, I'll give you a take that blessed home on me. I can see that barred chopper sweep a blue across the plains. It's me, friend, we're looking for all this cattle. The hooves just been churning up the slings. We were right in the whirlwind, searching for lost dream. We are on the sound of the old rain.
I think the only pressure I felt with that record was because I was going to make a record with the band again.
and we carried so much history with us. And I think if I really wanted something badly, you know, I did want to, after we did the first tour with the band played so well and played so terrifically that I did want to, I not want to make a record with the band, you know, but the bottom line is the rock music has always been the hardest thing for me to come by and the hardest thing for me to write. And so I was real concerned about writing a record with the band, with the band in mind, that I felt would stand shoulder to shoulder with our best records. That was something that, so I did, I mean, it's just sort of personal pressure in the fact that you don't do anything bad if you can, you know? And you know, that was something, because of my respect for the band and for the work that we did, that was something that I was, you know, wasn't concerned about, but was something I thought about a lot. Been very satisfying being able to come up with the new music that the band plays so well on stage now. It really grounds the band in the present and that I hope to be able to do our job. Thanks. Appreciate it. I don't know if take one I can talk. Go ahead. Oh, jeez. You're not on the suits, are you?
I listen to you for inspiration. I listen to you every day. Two questions. One, who do you listen to?
Okay. Who do I listen to?
And two, the dogs on Main Street.
Just the street, you know. And I listen to a lot of different people. There's a guy named David Barrow, made a record called New Folk Underground. I like a lot. A group called Phantom Planet, it's a good pop rock group. There's all kinds of good music. I got a Flaming Lips song I like the other day. You know, I go out and do a lot of curiosity buying, and I listen to a lot of different kinds of music. So.
Who do you kids listen to?
My kids listen to, all right, well, you know, I'm kind of Britney Spears thing now. And that's a little bit warm now. It's just their own business, some of them. But they're just kind of starting, so. All right.
Bruce.
Yes?
You'd make a great social worker. Really? Though you wouldn't make as much money as you do, because I'm a social worker and I know.
The idea that people see you sort of doing this, things, a lot of other jobs that you can do.
But your music has really shaped my, not only my personal journey, but my professional journey, and I thank you for that. But more pertinently, last night we heard you say that at the beginning of your career, you seem to attract more men than women, and you were a little worried about that?
Well, I wasn't worried. I was kind of joking.
Well, I speak for every woman in this building to say that if you sang a song like Drive All Night, you'd have every single woman's heart in the building.
My question is about inspiration.
All right.
It's certainly a common theme, but it was about 2 months ago that I sat down to dinner with my daughters. We have a family tradition once a week where I make them homemade pizza. And in the background, in all sincerity, The Rising. And my 11-year-old daughter said, you know, Dad, I know every word to every song and every song in this album. And I said, my daughter's rather quiet. She said, Emily, I don't believe it. How could that be? And she said, Dad, that's the only CD you've had in your car all summer long. You've inspired us, inspired my 11-year-old daughter. And my 10-year-old daughter said, well, what brings Bruce and Patty back every week, every month? What brings the band back? And I didn't have a good answer for them as to what inspires you to come and do this every night. And I'd like to go home with that answer.
It's just my job, you know? I get paid to do it for one. It was a way that, like I said earlier, that I sorted through a lot of things in my life. And it was just, it's like anything else, it's just something, once I got into it, that I needed to do. You know, it's the old cliche, you know, I've been doing it. I mean, I knew I was going to be a musician when I was very young, I didn't know if I was going to do well or not, but
But it's just, it's, you know, it's where I go to feel alive. It's where I go to feel like I can, you can make your voice heard. I think everybody wants that. I think I started out with somebody that was pretty quiet. And, you know, it really started just as a way of making some impact, talking to people, getting a chance to hear people talk back at me. And fundamentally, there's that idea that music for me sparked, it gave me such a sense of possibility and a sense of a world that was out there that it was an enormous, enormous spark for my just emotional, intellectual life. And I think that when I go out on stage and I say, well, there's a, I have a chance to, you know, set that spark for somebody else. And that's what's, I think if there's something that made our band maybe a little bit different than other bands, was that we took that job very, very seriously. That evening was, you had a whole two simultaneous, two contradictory ideas in your mind at the same time. One, it's the most important thing you can do with your life. Two, it's only rock and roll. And if you held both of those things in the right place, you went out of line, you did your job well. And the guys have been able to do that for a long, long time.
And no question about it. And the big question for my wife is boxes or briefs. But I will say, Bruce, the big question tonight is, what really, you're an inspiration to all of us, so what keeps you awake at night? That's it.
Yeah, I think that somebody said, the idea of your, I think, artist's idea is to make the audience care about your obsession and the things that just have stuck in you. You know, and you may not know what they were, you know. But that's sort of the job. You know, I write about, I think a lot of my music wrote about a certain kind of man, for one thing. I suppose it came down from my dad. And that's something that I find in a lot of different characters all over the place, in Nebraska, and goes to Tom Joe. And my mother's side of the family was Italian, and they were like a constant joy fest, you know. They had three sisters, and they were screaming all the time. As a kid, I would go over to my aunt's house, and they'd come back with a headache. They were like, hey, woo, me, always, you know, the milk being delivered. And, you know, just in that part, you know, they had tremendous capacity. My mother, they was strong, like, whoa, scary strong, unfailingly optimistic, and had a tremendous sense of joyfulness that always struck me as very beautiful. And my dad was the flip side. He was Irish, you know. That was the cops coming to the house party, you know. Whenever his family got together, you know. And I kind of, you know, I was just there in the middle of both things. And I think my music over the years has reflected what is the things that we do that are just, if any of the two things have anything in common, so there's an underlying desperation, even to say like a Rosalita or something that was just kind of so go for broke, you know. It was like everything was go for broke, but those are things that, you know, I still, I continue to sort of dig into those things and try to find new places to go.
Hi, Bruce.
Yes.
I saw you in 99 at the League Center, and we got front row seats, and now we see you here tonight, and my heart is just fluttering as it was back then. Are you more relaxed now doing a show like this, or at a larger venue with a little more rocking?
Well, I'm not relaxed now, because if I'm doing it, I guarantee I'll never do it again. you're at my last taking questions from you. I'm sweating a lot less, you know. That's kind of nice. You know?
Bruce.
Go ahead.
Hey, my favorite's No Retreat, No Surrender. Do you think maybe we could get an encore and maybe we'll listen?
I don't think so.
Like, you know, next time for the audience, or just the hall, or what you had for dinner, or what you want to do. When you leave.
First, you need a talented audience. What I'm saying is that I do a lot of different kinds of music, and it makes a lot of different types of sort of demands on the audience. And I do, one of the things I did enjoy the Tom Jones tour was coming out, it's music that demands a lot of concentration and a lot of real collaboration. To me, the idea of in concert, that always meant that I am in concert with you. And I can only haul it so high, you know. And the rest is kind of what people are bringing and their own focus and their own spirits on a given night, and then how much room they give you to move and to express yourself. So I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, a talented audience is important to me. All right, one more.
Chris,
please.
Writing a song with the name Alice in it.
soon.